for the opportunity that the church all over this country has to take the lead in racial harmony. Will you equip us, the Big C, churches literally all over the world, to really lead the charge? Because we really do know that apart from Christ, we have no real peace. Lead us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Thanks for being here on today. We're hanging out in a series. This is the third week. And so if you're here or if you're in Louisville, thanks for being here on this morning. We're excited to have you. I want to give you a quick review of where we're coming from, and then we'll see if we can cover some new material on today. The first week when we started our series, we talked to white people, and we said to white people, you have contributed to racial disunity. If you're here and you're a part of our body and you're white, don't be offended by that. Just get used to it, because I'm going to go to black people here in a minute. And then I said to black people last week, I said, black people, you really have contributed to that as well. And so we looked at them from both perspectives, and we said, hey guys, just realize that we didn't just get here overnight. We then suggested that one of the reasons why this happens is because we have a tendency to look through a lens. And if you're not careful, you might be looking through the wrong lens. So we talked last week about three types of lens. The first one was the passion lens. And we suggested that when you look through the passion lens, what you're saying is that my race trumps grace. What you're suggesting is that I'm so passionate about what has happened over these years and years and years that whenever I see something, I will only look at it through the lens of my passion or through the lens of my race first. I'm not looking at it through anything else but my race first. And if I do that, then that's how I feel better about myself. We suggested that the second group of individuals that we select sometimes is we select to look through the lens of people, and that is people who have hurt us in the past. Maybe perhaps you had an experience that was not a healthy one with somebody who really hurt you. And because of that, you are now looking through the lens of someone in the past that's hurt you. And so now you're looking through pain. And oftentimes, you know it, when you're looking through pain, hurt people tend to want to, say it with me, hurt people. And so we suggested last time that what we ought to do instead is look through the lens of paid in full, which is represented by these glasses. And so we have to look through the lens of paid in full, because that's where grace trumps race. That's where grace trumps race. And you ought to look through it, because what Jesus has done for you, he's now asking you to do for someone else. And so when you're interacting with people of different races, from different cultures, we ought to look at them and we ought to interact with them from the perspective of grace, not race. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the other day, about 4 days ago now, I went to the movies. And it was one of those, you know, fancy ones where they bring you your food and stuff like that. And it was kind of cool. But I went early, and as I was sitting in that movie theater, I saw some previews. I saw, I think it was 5 of them. 2 of them I got really excited about and I said, I want to go see that. 3 of them I thought, that's a hot mess. I do not want to see that. Anybody ever done that? You No. Y'all can keep that. Don't want to see that at all. Here's my concern. My concern is that when the world looks at the church is supposed to be a preview of coming attractions. We're supposed to be, people always look at the church and say, whoa, give me some of that, because I can't wait to enjoy what they get to enjoy. But the sad truth is today that when the world looks at the church, they're coming to the conclusion that that's a hot mess. I don't want to have nothing to do with that. The reason for that, ladies and gentlemen, is because we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the one where when everybody comes together, people are marveling about how y'all get together, how y'all do that. But instead, they're coming to the conclusion that I don't want to have nothing to do with any of these people because they're not modeling what Jesus Christ modeled. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you will allow me today, I want to talk a little bit about this. And so if you have your notes page, I want you to pick it up. And I want to start with one verse. It's in Galatians chapter 3, round about verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, round about verse 28. I want you to see what the Bible actually says. So why don't you read it with me, if you don't mind. Let's read it and see what it says. Here we go. It says, there is neither... Hold on, that's not everybody. I need everybody to read it, please. If you're in Louisville, you too. Come on, everybody. Let's all read it together. Here we go. There is Jew, no. There is neither. There is neither. For. That's the part I love. Read this last phrase again. For you are all one in. One more time. For you are all. Hey, can I put my version on it? Can I put my version? I want to put my version. Watch this. This ain't in the Bible. This is my version. Don't tell me I'm sacrilegious. I don't love Jesus. This is my version. If I was to interpret this, it would look something like this. There is neither black nor white. There is neither Democrat nor Republican. There is neither suburb or inner city. There is neither Coke or Pepsi. There is neither Android or iPhone. For you are all one in Christ. Conway chapter 4, verse 8. All right. Come on back. All that matters, this part is for real. For you are all one in Christ. Can we quit all the fighting, please? And remember that we're supposed to be one in Christ Jesus. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what's amazing to me about what this thing called the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to look like, I believe and I'm convinced that if we ever become who God has called us to become, then the world will stand in amazement and they would want some of what we got. I'm convinced of it. The challenge is we're not doing what God's called us to do, therefore the world couldn't care one rip about what we're doing. So I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2, and this is where we're going to hang out most of our time today. And I want to start from the bottom, verse 19 or so, 20, 21, 22, and then I want to move up. Because I want to show you what Jesus Christ is up to, why he paid the price he paid, and I want you to get there, and I want you to just envision what he desires. So he picks it up. We're going from the bottom of your notes all the way up. All right, we're going from the bottom of your notes, unification, all the way up. So if you're reading it, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 22, the latter part of the passage, verse 11 to 12 is separation, verses 13 through 19 is reconciliation, and verses 20 through 22 is unification. Okay, now here's the thesis. In chapter 2, 1 through 10, here's what he's saying. He's saying, what I have done for you have created and allowed you access so you and I can have a relationship with Jesus. He says, I've made the path so that you can connect with me personally. The challenge then is, he says in verse 11 through 22, if you've connected with me, then you have to live in harmony with your brother and sister. He says, you can't say you love me, but you don't love your brother and sister. He says, that means you're not saved. He says, it is impossible to say you love me, and when it comes to the person next to you from a different culture or looks a little different from you, that you want to now say, well, I don't love you. I love him, but I don't want to love you. God says, no, that means you didn't catch the first part, which means really you might not love me. So I'm not focused on the first part today. I'm focused on the second part. If you have a relationship with God, how can you say you love me, but you can't love your brother? That's the point I'm driving home today. So let's pick it up round about at verse number 19 of this passage. Here's what he says. I love this passage. Here's what he says. So then, we're going to get to why he says so then, but I needed you to see these three images that he uses. He says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. Now, you means Jews and Gentiles. In other words, everybody was a stranger and everybody was an alien. And if it wasn't for Jesus, we would still be aliens and strangers. So he says, everybody needs grace to be able to interact with me. So since I have dispensed grace to you, in light of that, he says, this is who you now are. He says, but now you are fellow, say this word with me. Citizens, your fellow citizens. Now, the problem with many of you is that you don't know what an honor it is to be a citizen of the great United States of America, because you were born here. So you just be like, oh yeah, that's just how we roll. But if you ever were not born here and you had to come here and go through the process to beg them to become a citizen, then you would really appreciate all that you got. So let me tell you a little bit about me. I came here, you know this, I came here and I went to school and I was kicking it on a student visa, right? So I used to go to school and all that. So then I got me married. So when I got me married, then Jada said, listen, I ain't going back down there. She did not say that, by the way, so let me stop. So then I proceeded to get a green card or a permanent resident status. Well, to do that, back in the day, you don't have to do it now, but back in the day, I had to get there at like 11 o'clock at night and wait till they open at like 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's me and my homeless buddies kicking it on the line. I got my little tea here. I made me a little room. I said, this is my little area. And I'm sleeping. I'm lying down. I'm getting up every 2 minutes or so. I'm looking with one eye to see if somebody done rip me off. I had to go through all of this just so that I could be a citizen of this great country. Now, you don't get what an honor that is, but if you had to go down there one night at 11 o'clock and stay all morning long just to get up and then join another line to get inside to see somebody and to say, will you please accept me into your beautiful country? If you had to do all of that, then you would appreciate so much more your blessing called citizenship. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, you weren't a citizen, but because of what I did, I have now adopted you into my kingdom. So you can be a part of my kingdom because of what I did. He says, that's the first image. You had nothing to do with it. I decided you could come and be a part of my kingdom. Then he says, that's good, but it gets better. He says, with the saints and are of the house, God's household. In other words, he says, not only are you a citizen, now you're part of my family. He says, I'm going to get it a little more intimate for you to see what I really did for you. I want you to be part of my family. So he brings us in. He adopts us into the family. And now he says, we are as close as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why whenever I'm rolling with my son and he sees an adult that go to this church, I said, there go uncle, whatever. Here go auntie, whatever. And every now and again, my wife don't understand that. So she'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Ain't no uncle. Ain't no auntie. I said, no. Here's what you need to know. If you have a brother that's not saved, blood brother, and you have a Christian who is your brother that is saved, you're going to spend more time with them than you would with your blood relative. So therefore, you need to get used to realizing that we're all a part of this one God's family. In light of that, the way I grew up is everybody that's older than me, that's a part of our community, we say, hey, man, that's your brother. Hey, that's your sister. Hey, sister so-and-so, it's how we used to do it. Hey, brother so-and-so, it's how we used to do it. That's not far off. That's not old school. That's new school, because that's actual Bible, that it's your brother and your sister, so you ought to treat them like that. Here we go. That's why, let me go off on one parenthetic thought. That's why singles, when you're dating somebody, you can't just treat them like nobody. It's your brother or your sister. So at the end of the relationship, if it's still not your brother, then you have done, ruined the relationship because of your self-centeredness. That ain't my point, so let's move on. He zooms in to an even more intimate position. He says, not only are you citizens, not only are you part of God's household, watch verse 20, here's what he now says, watch this, having built having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Let me explain this real quick. So he's saying the apostles provided and the prophets provided the word of God. It's based on, it's built on the word of God. And Jesus himself now is the cornerstone by which every other stone will be measured. So either you're aligning with Jesus or you're not. When you decide we're going to live together no matter what and we're going to do our own thing, you're not aligning with Jesus. He ain't your cornerstone. You're your own. You're making up your own rules and you're doing your own thing. So don't worry and don't be surprised when later on in marriage, because you didn't honor God before marriage, you're not going to honor him in marriage because you're not aligned to what Jesus says. Here we go. Verse 21. In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Watch the intimacy. We are citizens. We are a part of the family. Now he's saying he's building a holy temple. Watch the next verse. Verse 22. Then he says, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Here's what he says. This beautiful thing called the church is where God's Spirit is now housed. You want the presence of the living God? All you got to do is go to church and you'll see somebody, listen, who has been modeling it in their household that then comes to church and hangs out with other people who have been modeling it in the family of God, which is why when the world looks at us, they say, I want some of that. But when you cannot do it in your own household, and when you choose selfishly that you got married so that you can get from your spouse and not that you can give to your spouse, the reason the church is a mess is because your house is a mess. And if you fix your house by saying to yourself, self, I got married for what I can give, not what I can get. I will not make demands of my spouse to give me. I will outgive them every single time. And if you don't do it in your house, it will never get to the church. He says, I want to dwell there. That's what I want to do. I want to dwell there. But the only way I can dwell there is if you do what I have done. What has he done? John 17. Watch it. John 17, verse 20, 21, 22, 23, there about 22. Let's start there. Watch this. Why did he do all this? The glory which you have given me, I have given to them. That they may be one, here's the key word, just as we are one. I want you to watch. I want you to watch what he's setting up. He's saying, I want them to be one, just as you and I, Father, are one. I want there to be this seamless connection with people who have come from far off and who are near. I want this to be this oneness connection so that people are marveled at how can people who didn't grow up in the same physical household unite like this, like they're all a part of one big family. How in the world? That's what people should take. But here's what I don't want you to miss. The next verse. Watch this now. This blew my mind when I saw it. Next verse. Watch it. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. This is his prayer to his Father. I want my church, I want the people gathered at OCC to be perfected in unity so that, here is the reason. Everybody say these two words with me. So that, let me say it again. I want them to be perfected in unity with the result that, say these two words. So that what? The world may know that you sent me. Here's what he's saying. You want to see people saved? You don't have to get some celebrity up here to talk and tell people, whoa, well, I used to be this, now I'm this, therefore you should know him too. He says, no. All you got to do is be on one accord. And if you are ever unified, he says, they will come from wherever they are and they will say, there is a God, his name is Jesus, and I want some of him. But when we don't do that, when we are not perfected in unity, when we're not one, when we can't experience the oneness, then he says, when you do that, no wonder they don't want to have anything to do with us. No wonder. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, what does it look like when we're perfected in unity? It looks like somebody, a buddy of mine, taking care of somebody who had a kidney disease, and then all of a sudden they needed one, and as they're taking them to treatment day after day after day, then one day they said, you know what? I got told you need to get one. Let me give you one of mine. Yeah. Why would you do that? Because that's my brother in Christ. I see them have a need, and I want to help them meet that need. Here it is. It's another buddy of mine who gets this guy. He's a homeless guy. He brings him into his house. He brings him into his suburban house. He brings him in, and he's hanging out with him. And he says, you can stay here for 6 months until you get off your feet. Where's that? Listen, ladies and gentlemen. When you decide, well, you know what? Yeah, this person needs some. Let me give him $50. Anybody can do that. Ain't nothing unique about that. You got a million, so you can give 50. Anybody can do that. When you got one and you give the one, everybody can't do that. The world's looking, they're pleading. Will somebody show me the way? Will somebody show me what unity, oneness looks like? And we still can't get over simply loving our spouses. We still can't get over simply loving our kids. We still can't get over loving people in ministry. We still can't get over loving each other in life group. And there has to be fight after fight after fight after fight. And the world says, oh my gosh, y'all are worse than the rest of us. What good is your Jesus to you? Can't even get there. Every single time, there should be no issue that two Christians can't resolve. None, not one, not one. If both are humble, if both are trying to please their Father, if both are trying to say to themselves, you before me, then he said, there's nothing we can't resolve. And whenever there is something you can't resolve, there's pride in the middle of it. Every time, every single time. But watch this, it gets better. Watch this now, it gets better. I want you to now go over to another passage of scripture, Philippians. And I want you to see what he says. In John 17, he says, hey man, if you're one, they'll come because they've never seen anything like it. Now I want you to go to Philippians. And I want you to see what he says here. Let's go there. He says, watch this now. I want you to watch this. This is the Bible. I didn't make this up. The context of this is he's saying, hey guys, the more you live for God, the more the world's going to hate you. Watch it. Listen. The more liberal our country gets, the more they will say the Bible is irrelevant. The more they say the Bible is irrelevant, listen, the more we will be the enemy. See, it's cool to be a Christian now, at least in this part of town. It's cool to be a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay, I know you. Yeah. You got some parts of this country. Don't go outside the world. It's not cool to be a Christian, and it's not in style to be a Christian, and you might lose your life to be a Christian. Well, listen, you don't believe me, but I promise you, this is coming. The day when Christians will be the minority and we will be scorned. I promise you. When they will say, you're the problem, and you're the problem because you have such a narrow mind, and you can't think large, and you're not a part of the new world. You're still ancient. I promise you that day's coming. With that in mind, look at what he says. He says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, listen, I will hear of you that you are standing firm, read the rest with me, in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In other words, we want to tell everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ. But we're doing it in one spirit and in one mind because we're unified. What happens when we're in one spirit and one mind? Watch this. Next verse. Here's what he says. In light of that, in no way alarmed by your opponents. Don't be surprised by the media. Don't be surprised by what they're going to say about you. Don't. Listen. Because of your oneness, when you have opponents, listen, which is a sign of destruction for them. Watch this. This is so good. He's saying, when you act in oneness and they see how as a community we're unified around one purpose, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, they, without you saying a word, will know that their end is destruction because of how you live. The Bible says when you live right and when you have unity, the world will know. Hey. We finna know we gonna die. We finna know we gonna spend eternity apart from. You don't have to even preach about hell, because the Bible says they will come to their own conclusion. When you live in unity, watch it, it continues. But of salvation for you. So they will know, because you're one in spirit and you're one in mind and you're operating in unity, that for them their end is destruction, but for you your end is salvation. And that too from God. It's a beautiful picture of this idea of oneness when we get there. But the only way you get there is if you get rid of self and you say to yourself, it's not about me. It is about Christ in me, and I will be selfless. I will be self-giving and I'll be self-sacrificing. If you don't interact with your brothers and sisters in Christ like that, we'll never get there, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't, we never will. When you look at your notes, unification says you're a citizen, A, citizenry, B, family, and C, God's presence. That's what happens when we're unified. We get to be citizens, we get to be family members, and we get to be in God's presence. The first phrase says, if you idolize, you will demonize. If you idolize your race, you'll demonize every other race. If you idolize your political agenda, you will demonize everybody else. In 2 weeks, I'm going to deal with this. All you got to do is look at the news these days. I'm going to get in trouble right now. You see MSNBC? I know what they are. You see Fox? I know what they are. Hold on. Let's try that again. You see MSNBC? I know what they are. Okay, good. You see Fox? I know what they are. Watch this now. You see CNN? They claim to be objective. They claim they don't have any agenda. Oh, yeah? You just watch it. It'll speak for itself. Don't be deceived. See, I like when somebody tells me who they really are. What I don't like is when someone says, I speak for mainstream everybody. That's what you got to watch. Here's why that's important. Because whoever you idolize, your goal is to demonize the other person. I talked about this when we talked about the agendas in our series earlier, and I'm going to talk about it in the coming weeks to come. That you've got to be careful, because here's what they do to Christians. I don't care which Christian go on there. Their goal is to make a Christian look like a plumb fool. I'm not asking you to just look at any one of them. A Christian must look like a fool because they don't want the agenda of the Bible, because it messes up their lives. I'm not asking you that. You can, okay. Is Pastor Republican or he's Democrat? I'm on God's side. I couldn't care less about none of them. Really couldn't care less. Really couldn't. Anyways, that's not my point. Let's go on. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to watch now. Verse 11, and let's go back to separation, and then let's go back to reconciliation. Watch verse 11 and verse 12. Here we go. Verse 11 says this: therefore, remember that formerly you were the Gentiles, that's who we were, in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Watch this. Here's what he's saying. There's some of you that got snipped, and some of you that didn't get snipped. That's all he's saying. If you got snipped, you are circumcised. If you didn't get snip, then God bless you, but you are uncircumcised. That's back in the day, all right? And so these are Gentiles, these are Jews. Here we go, next verse. Here we go, here's where it gets good now. Remember, listen, church, that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having, listen, no hope and without God in the world. Listen, here's what he's saying. There are three words I want you to put there. You're helpless, you're homeless, and you are hopeless. You're helpless, you're homeless, and you are hopeless. What he's suggesting is, before you knew God, this described you. You're helpless, you are homeless, and you are, there was no hope for you. That's what he's saying. So be careful when it comes to racial relations now, that you now, if you're in the front of the line, want to say, well, we're better than you. Be careful, because you're all of those three. Be careful in the back of the line when you want to say, well, y'all owe me. Whoa. Because you were the same thing. Helpless, homeless, hopeless. And so no matter what we've talked about before, I'm trying to tell you who we are in Jesus. And what he's saying is, don't forget where you're coming from with reference to me. Don't forget it. Here we go. Watch this now. Next verse. This gets real good. Watch it. But now, that's who you used to be. Hopeless, homeless, helpless. But because of what Jesus has done, but in Jesus Christ, you who were formerly, say this phrase with me, far off. What does that mean? Let me give you culturally what that means now. You are far off. In other words, if you understand the culture of the day, there were these barriers. So the first barrier, the dividing wall that separated you from God. The only people that were here were the Gentiles. They were the furthest away from God, the furthest away. There's a barrier. If you went over this barrier, they'd kill you. Furthest away. You were far off. Next barrier. This was woman. Woman couldn't get any closer. This is where you were. Woman couldn't get any closer. You got to stay right here. You cannot go over this barrier. Next barrier was Jews or the men. And you couldn't get any closer. You had to stay here. You cannot get to the presence of the living God. The next group were priests. And priests were, and they couldn't get any further. Every year they'd have to send one dude up. And when they send the one dude up, they'd have to tie something on his foot. So if he had sin in his life, they'd have to just pull him back out if he didn't come back for a minute. Yet all these dividing walls, there were walls of hostility between one and the other. And you couldn't get back there. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, because of who I am, because I hung in a tree for you, and because I got up from the grave, I'm going to move these barriers, every last one of them, so that you can have access where you had no access before. I'm going to do something so special in your life that now you who were afar off, my God, can now come close. He says, you used to be here and you couldn't see me, but because of what I did, you can come close. He says, you want my presence? You can get my presence now because you can come close. Said, I did that for you, so how dare you? When somebody else is far off or near, and you want to have a conversation with them, how dare you give them the hand in light of what I've done for you? How dare you say, well, you shouldn't treat me like that. How dare you say, well, there ain't no racism anymore. How dare you say any of that to your brother in Christ? Instead, what you should be saying is, I'm just glad you're my brother, and I'm just glad we both get to be in the presence of the living God. How dare you? As a believer who has been bought by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, how dare you, he says, try to treat somebody else as if you're better than them. How dare you, when all of us are equal at the foot of the cross. How dare you, he says, how dare you. Let's go to reconciliation. He says, 13 through 19, he says, Christ has bought us peace. He made us one, and he's given us access to God. See what he's done? He's brought us peace because he says he is peace. The text did not say he brings peace. No, the text says he is the peace. So in order to have true peace, you can have pseudo agreements, but in order to have true peace, Jesus got to be at the center of that. Because he says the peace is not something he gives to you. He is the peace. So if you want real peace, and don't be fooled by pseudo peace, if you want real peace from the heart, then you've got to go through Jesus. Because he says, I am that peace. That's what he says. Then he says, he made us one. He made us one so we can show the world what unity looks like, so that if you lift me up, they will come, he says. And then he's given us access to God. Don't minimize access, y'all. For years, people didn't have access. For years, there were dividing walls. You couldn't get close. Jesus says, because of what I've done, you who were afar off can come close. Don't take that lightly. Let me close with this and then I'm done. I saw this illustration. I thought this was so good, I needed to share it. This ain't mine, but it's good. I like pizza. So do many of you like pizza. Probably shouldn't be eating it, but we eat it. Praise God for his grace. We might get diabetes, but praise God for his grace. Ladies and gentlemen, this box costs 39 cents. That's all it costs, 39 cents. Ladies and gentlemen, your life is like this pizza box. It's not valued, listen, until you put the product of value in it. If you don't have Jesus, then you're just a piece of box because you're not who he meant you to be. So it is not until the pizza gets dropped in the box that now your value matters. The challenge then is there are two reasons he wouldn't put himself in the box. What he demands of you and me is that the box is one, clean, and two, empty. In other words, it got to be clean, so he desires to put his presence inside of you. And number two, it got to be empty of all the other clutter that you want to put in your life so that he can use you. The problem is we got too many Christians that's so cluttered with everything else, you can't afford to have Jesus in you, because when he's in you, he's got to fight for position. And then we have Christians, or people who think they're Christians, who are so dirty because of the filth of their lives that they have now become immune to, that they think is now normal. And God says, are you kidding me? How can I use you? You're going to embarrass me. How can I use you? And here's all he's saying to you today. Here's all he's saying to me today. Hey, if you will just say, God, I'm available. If you will just say, God, here I am, will you cleanse me? Then he says, I will make something that's worth 39 cents become so valuable, and I'll use you like you've never seen me use you before. And what church is supposed to be is a bunch of people coming and saying, God, will you fill me afresh so that I can get ready to deliver you to a world that desperately needs you everywhere I go. So here's the question on today. I have a one simple question for you. You might be here today and you might be saying, Pastor, I'm not a Christian and I need to figure this thing out. Then he says to you today, well, I'm glad you showed up, because I have an invitation for you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you, if you're not a Christian, then I want you to come forward, because I want you to make a public declaration. I'm tired of being a 39 cents piece of box. I want to be used by God. If you're here today and you've been away from church and you want to come back to a part of the body, if you're here today and you're not here because you're coming to us, I don't know about this church thing, and he's saying to you, hey, will you come back home? Maybe you've walked away from God and you're not living like you're supposed to, and he's saying, will you come back home today? Or maybe you've been here for a little while, lastly, and you've not, I just don't want to join the church. I got hurt. I don't want to do it. And God is saying, you cannot be the oneness. You cannot do what I've called you to do by yourself. And so it's time to come home and be a part of a family, because that's what I've called you to. And so in about 30 seconds, I'm going to ask you to come. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to have one still small voice saying, you need to go. And you're going to have another that says, I don't need to do all that. And today I'm telling you, you better come. And you're not coming for me. You're not coming for any people around here. You're coming because you're responding to the voice of God when he says, will you come today? And he said, will you come? My arms are open, and I want you back home. Anybody like that today? If that's you, I want you to slip out of your seat, and I want you to come. Anybody like that in the house today? You know he's talking to you. He's not talking to somebody else. He's talking to you. And he says, will you come back home?
This is the time. Anybody, if you want to, just come on down. Slip out of your seats and come and stand right here. And I want to pray for you today. Anybody like that? We have probably maximum 30 seconds and then we're done. Anybody else in the house? Anybody in the house want to do that today? Come back home to God. You're far off and you need to come close. Anybody else in the house? Come on. Don't wait on nobody else. I just want you to come. This is not about somebody else. This is about you. This is you and your encounter with God. Don't wait for one person to come. I want you to come because you're saved. God, I'm responding to you, God. I need you, God, in my life. I need to come back home, God, because this is where I belong. Anybody else in the house today? You know it. You know it. He's talking to you right now, and you're still allowing pride to let you sit down. And he said, will you respond to me because of all that I've done for you? Anybody else? You got 10 more seconds. That's it. 10 more seconds, and then we're done. He better be the center of your life. He better be the center of this church. In the name of Jesus. Body of Jesus Christ, will you stand and give God a round of applause because he's been that good? Come on, we can do better than that. Heaven is having a party. You better too. Come on. Come on. Come on. He's been too good to you. He's been too good to me. Come on. Hallelujah to his name. Stay standing. I want to pray for you. And I'm just proud of you. I need you to know heaven celebrates you today. I need you to know. I love when men show up. I do. Because we men, we got a hard shell on the outside, but we're tender on the inside. And when God grabs a hold of your heart and pulls you, it means you've responded well. So I want the men in the house to give the men who came forward a round of applause, saying, we're proud of you. We're proud of you, man. We really are. We're proud of you. We really, really are. No, ladies, will you celebrate with your ladies that came forward that says, okay, God, here I am. Praise be the name of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, there's nothing more important than seeing somebody cross the divide. There's nothing more important in life. Take all our resources. Take everything away. If we get to see this every single day, I know heaven considers it important because they're having a party. And so, God, today we're celebrating with the angels, saying we're thanking you for whatever decision each person up here made today. God, will this not just be an emotional response, but will it be a conviction of the heart to now walk with God in the details of their lives? Whatever they're tied up in, loose them, God. Whatever the enemy wants to do to derail them, obliterate his plans, God, so that you can grab hold of every heart and you can lead them in the path of righteousness. We beg you this, God. We don't want another number. We want a heart committed to God. Will you transform every heart here today so that they're walking with you in the details of all their lives? We thank you for everyone because everyone matters to you. We pray this in Jesus' matchless name. And One Community Church says, amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate these men and women one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There will be one person behind each of you, and I want, come on, come on. I want one person behind each of you, and I want them to simply have a conversation with you before you go. One Community Church. As you leave, remember two things, please. Remember on Wednesday night, ladies, I just promise you. I tell you this all the time, but you don't believe me. Just clear your schedule and show up at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. I promise you. If you have kiddos that should be in church anyways, you want to come be a part of that. And then Thursday, remember our peace plan as we simply try to make a difference in our community for the glory of God. We're going to have deals with banks to give minorities loans when they normally would. We're going to have deals with the district attorney to take cases when they and to expunge records when they normally would. You want to be a part of that. I promise you, you want to be a part of that. So that we're not just talking about making a difference. We're actually doing it for the glory of God. Will you, as you go, pray for your brothers and sisters who came forward? And then we have two more services. You need to invite somebody to church. I asked you to do it last week. If you haven't yet, call, phone a friend and tell them you got to be in church today. Thanks for being here, church. Now go as one and represent our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hear this message.